Morning, church. It is such a joy and privilege to be with all of you this morning. Just wanted to share a quick thought before we get started this morning. And I don't know about you, but I am particularly quite fond of something that a lot of people have love-hate relationships with, and that would be one of these. But one of the things that I really like about one of these is the Bible app. That if, I don't know if you have it on your phone, but I have it on mine, and I find that even in the days that I am so busy, I can't see which way's up and which way's down, somehow or another, I'll get a notification on my phone, and it'll be the verse of the day, or it'll be, don't forget to pray, or it'll be something to that nature, and it helps me stop for just a moment, think about what's going on, think about what I need to do, and then resort to prayer and resort to the word to figure out how to organize the rest of my day. And so in that light, I'm going to read the verse of the day as the opening scripture for this morning. And that is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And it says, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. And I personally think that that's a great testament to what we need to be focused on. We need to be so focused on advancing the kingdom and moving our mission forward to spread the love of Jesus to our community. But as a helpful reminder, to not get tired, to not be weary, and to not stop what we're doing for that purpose. And so that's my prayer this morning. As I said, it's a joy to see all of you this morning. If you'll join with me real quick in prayer, we can get going. God, we thank you for the many, many ways that you have blessed this church. We thank you for the many, many opportunities, God, that you've allowed this church to be your hands and feet in our community. Whether it's through Houses for Healing or Turkey Tuesday or Trunk or Treat that we just got done with 2 weeks ago, God. I just pray that we continue to see opportunities. We continue to see ways to be your light and your love in this community. Allow our church to be the ones that are on the ground spreading your gospel, spreading your love, and spreading your word to the ears that have not heard, allowing us to be your hands and feet, your grace and your mercy to the ones in our community that need it. Allow us to have supernatural energy. Allow us to have supernatural confidence so that we do not get tired or weary when we run the race that you've put before us. Allow us to be a church genuinely after your heart and your will. We thank you for this opportunity this morning to join together in worship. And God, we just pray that your spirit is felt in this place. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
Good morning, church. You know our God is surely in this place. So we stand and we worship him. And by the power of his Holy Spirit flowing through us, there is joy in the house of the Lord this morning.
We worship the God who was.
Children, y'all come on forward. Everybody else, you can be seated.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kenny. Oh, here. All right. Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning? Good. Everybody. Everybody coming? All right. Hey, guys. What? Where's Kate? I don't know where Kate is. Oh, Kate's too old. Right? Kate's too old. Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning? Everybody good? Are you excited to be here today? All right. Well, okay. So I have a question for you. How did you get to church? In a car. Did anybody walk to church? You walked to church? Did you? Yes. All right. Yes. I knew somebody was going to walk to church today. Okay. Yeah. Nobody brought an airplane. That's right. So, you know, and who did you come with when you came to church?
Mom and brother.
Your dad? Your aunt? Your sister? Your grandma? Yeah. So you came with somebody, right? You didn't come by yourself, did you? Somebody had to bring you to church, didn't they? Yeah. Are you excited that they brought you to church today? Yeah, I'm excited that they brought you to church. And you know what that tells me? That they cared enough about you to bring you to church today so that you can learn about who?
Jesus and God.
Jesus and God. That's right. They wanted to make sure that you can learn all about him. Can we just learn about Jesus and God at church?
No.
No. We can learn about Jesus and God at home or wherever we're at, right? Yeah. But a good place to learn is here at church, right? All right, well, I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible. It's about Jesus that was talking and teaching with his disciples, okay? And a large crowd of people and their families were following Jesus around.
Yes.
Because they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Do you want to hear what Jesus has to say?
Yes,
that's right. So as Jesus was teaching, people, the family, started bringing their children to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless their children and to touch their children and to hug their children. Well, the disciples, guess what? They didn't like all these people and children interrupting Jesus. They thought he had a lot to say, so they didn't want anybody interrupting him. And so the disciples said, go away, find something else to do. Jesus is too busy for you. Was that a good thing? No. How would you feel if you had to go away from Jesus?
Sad.
Very sad. Oh, it would be very sad. Yes. Or mad. You could even be mad. That's right. When Jesus saw what was going on. Do you know what he said? He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. I want them to come to me. The kingdom of heaven belongs to these little ones." Then Jesus took the children into his arms and he hugged them and blessed them and talked to them. He did not send them away. Isn't that exciting that he cares so much about children? Yeah. Do you know that he cares
about everybody?
He does. Does he care about you?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Jesus wanted the children to come to him. Jesus wants us to come to him. Do you go to him?
Yes.
Do you go to him? Yeah. Do you know that Jesus loves and cares about us so much that we can go to him any time of the day we want to? Now, is he right here with us? Can we see him?
No,
no, but can we feel him?
Yes,
yes we can. And we can. That's right. And we can talk to him about anything. And we can talk to him about it anywhere we are at. And do you know what? He never says to go away. He's always waiting and ready to listen to you. Isn't it exciting? He wants to hear from each one of us all the time. So let's go to Jesus all the time, every day. Whether you're at school or whether you're at home, whether you're at church, wherever you are, we can go and talk to him. Even at the store, you're right. And we can go to him. We can go to Jesus when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're joyful, when we're mad. Are jealous? Yes, we can go if we're jealous. We can go to Jesus anytime because he wants to hear from us because he loves us so much. You can go to your house, yes. He in space, yes. All right, but we can go and talk to him anytime and anywhere that we are at because he's ready and waiting and ready to listen to us. Are y'all excited about that? Well, maybe, yes, you could probably. So, all right. All right, well, let's say a prayer, okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you are right here all the time, and you want us to come to you, and that you never send us away. We thank you that your love is so big and mighty, and that you love each one of us and care what's going on in our lives, Lord. Just bless our day and bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go. Thank you, Ivy.
My name is Rebecca. I live in the north of Nigeria. One evening I was out with my daughter, and on our way home we saw smoke rising above our village. We were under attack. There was nothing we could do to defend ourselves. My husband and I were married in that village. My wedding day, it was the happiest day of my life. Some members of our church gave us a wedding gift. It was a Bible. We read it together every day. When our children were old enough, we read it to them and their friends.
Let the little children come to me.
Let the little children come to me.
And do not forbid them.
And do not forbid them.
For such is the kingdom of heaven.
Such is the kingdom of heaven.
Matthew chapter 19.
Matthew chapter 19.
Verse 14.
On the day our village burnt to the ground, my husband and my son were killed in the attack. I was devastated. I mourned for many months. Some of us were able to return to our village to reclaim anything that was left. Parts of Genesis and Revelation were burnt, but the rest was mostly intact. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a wild flower. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I still use this Bible. It reminds me of God's faithfulness. Naked I came from my mother's womb, but naked I shall return there. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is a husband to all widows. I look to Him for every need. This is what I am still holding on to.
That many Christians were martyred in the Bible and many Christians were persecuted. But sadly, it's still going on today in lots of countries, persecution and even murdering. Voice of the Martyrs is a non-denominational international organization whose mission is to defend human rights of the persecuted Christians. And many times they'll go over there, like Rebecca, and they will assist them with money, maybe train them to work if she was just a stay-at-home mom. But what's interesting is when they are asked first thing about what do you most need, they will usually say prayer. And so Eric and I have set up a table in the foyer, and we've got some prayer guides. We've got some bookmarks that you can put in your Bible to remind you to pray for these Christians, because we don't face anything like that here. We may be ostracized or we may be made fun of, but we don't face anything like the Christians over there who can lose a job, be kicked out of their house, be physically beaten, be sent to a camp where they are taught the correct politics of the country. So we need to remember that the least we can do is pray, but the most we can do is pray. In Hebrews 3, it says, remember those who are in prison as if you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as if you were suffering with them. They feel our prayers. They do. And it's very important that we here in the States pray for them, because they actually have told us sometimes that they pray for us because of our affluence. Have a harder time being dedicated Christians, and they realize that. They have so little in a lot of these places that Christ is their all. And so while they pray for us, let's be sure and pray for them in their persecuted lives every day.
So I'd ask you to join with us as we pray for the International Church, for those who are scattered all over the world. As a time just to lift them up this morning and to let them know that right now they're being prayed for. So join me. Father, as we pray this morning, we understand the importance of it. You taught your disciples how to pray. And so we understand that there is a power through prayer that we don't understand, but that's how you work. And so as we join our hearts in this congregation this morning, just to remember those who are in very, very difficult circumstances. God, there right now, there are people who are dying because they love you. There are people who are losing their employment because they love you. There are people who are being kicked out of their homes because they love you. There are people who are being kicked out of their families because they love you. And so we, at this moment, just, God, pray your hand on them for mercy, for grace. God, for the courage to continue to stand firm in their belief of who you are. God, that we would be a church here in the States that remembers and that we honor them with prayer, because sometimes that's what we can do. Pray for this organization, VOM, Voice of the Martyrs, that they continue the work, that they continue to put out in front of us the need that is there. And just help us to be faithful in praying for that. And so, Father, as you taught your disciples to pray, you also gave us that same directive. And so we pray that prayer that you taught them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The word martyr means witness. And number one, we need to be so thankful for the freedom that we have, that we take for granted, that we get to come into this place and freely worship God. But number two, what they witness to is the truth that life following Christ is greater than anything that this world could offer. And they are, many people over time have literally made that witness that the way of God, that following God, the holy presence of God is greater than life itself. And so their witness speaks loudly to us today, church, that we are here to give our life to Jesus. Not to give God lip service or to say that we are following something that's easy to say, but really our act of worship is to give ourself as a living sacrifice to God. This morning, we are reminded by those who have gone before that God is greater than all things, even life itself. So I pray as we worship that we would align ourselves with God, that we would align our way with the way of Christ, and that the word worship is tied to the idea of worth-ship, that God, we will tell him that God, you are worth more than anything. Let's stand and let's sing.
I will be your God. Wow, the sweet presence of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Cody and team, for leading us to the throne of grace. Well, welcome this morning. For those of you worshiping online, welcome as well. I would ask you, if you'd like to, register your attendance with us. That'll help us to know who's not being able to be here. If you are our guest this morning, we're grateful that you have chosen to worship at Wiley Methodist Church. If you would like to leave us a record of your visit, you can fill out the guest registration card in the chair pocket in front of you. You can either leave that in your seat. You can drop that in the offering boxes on your way out the door. I would love to meet you if you choose to do that by the main entrance. Our pastor typically does that. And he's out of town this week at a conference. He's receiving some training that will benefit him and benefit this fellowship as well. And every time I preach, I tell the visitors, if this sermon is horrible, come back next week. I know it's going to be good next week. So at least give us two shots. Could you do that? At least give us two shots. Great to have you if you're visiting with us this morning. Ladies, if you're going to the encounter night, you need to register by the end of today. You can do that through the bulletin. There's an insert in your bulletin. You can do that through our app or through the website. So register by the end of today. Men's breakfast is next Saturday morning at Wiley Baptist Church. We are in communion with that church, the men are, and we're having a good time just meeting together with each other. So that's next Saturday morning, 7:30 at Wiley Baptist. And Jeff wanted me to give another quick update on Trunk or Treat. I know we did this last Sunday. And we were at the staff prayer time Monday morning, and Jeff said, you know, it seems like Trunk or Treat was a big success, but is it something we need to continue to do? I mean, are we just passing out candy, or are we making a difference in the spiritual realm? And, you know, everything we do, I don't know if you know this or not, but everything we do is tied to our mission statement. Love God, help me complete it, and okay, so every ministry we're involved in needs to fit there somewhere. If it's not, then maybe we don't need to do that. And, of course, offering Christ is outreach. And so we were giving Jeff feedback, and Carlene reminded us of something that happened last year. There was a family that came, and this mom posted the experience on Facebook. This family came, and this young elementary-age young lady received a Gideon Bible from Richard and Kit and Arthur, which they passed out those again this year. And she was really excited about that Bible. This was her second or third one she had received. But, boy, God was stirring something in her. And that night in the bathtub, she gave her heart to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So Jeff said, I'm sold. I mean, if that's the impact, one person is impacted, it's worth it. And so this family comes back this year, and Carlene engages them early on in their journey around the loop there, the 50 cars. And mom says, "My daughter wants another Bible. Are they being handed out?" I mean, she wasn't asking about candy. She said, are the Bibles available? And then little brother said, "Yes, I want one too." And so we were able to provide Bibles for them. And I don't know how many times maybe that story is repeated that we just don't know about. So man, what a great opportunity to offer Christ to our community. So Trunk or Treat will be back next year. This last Wednesday night, we had a fundraiser for our fourth and fifth graders who are going to the Superstart Conference in February. And all the proceeds for that meal went straight to that event, the scholarships for that event. And church, God bless you for your faithfulness. I mean, there was lots of good food, right? Everybody here today, nobody walked away hungry. We raised $1,480 in 1 hour for them. So thank you so much for participating in that. And I've shared this before. I used to be a sponsor. I don't know if you knew this. I was the assistant children's minister for a lot of years. And then we brought some more ladies on staff, and I was demoted, which I was okay with that. But I had attended that event 2 or 3 years as a sponsor. And I remember during one worship set, I mean, here's some adults with a bunch of fourth and fifth graders. We're worshiping the Lord, and I start just weeping uncontrollably. And I asked the Lord, "God, why am I weeping?" He said, "Because I'm here and I care about these young people. I want them to encounter me." So this is a great opportunity for them to encounter the Lord. And thank you for your participation in helping make that happen. Before we start the sermon, I need to clarify something that I said, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I had an opportunity to preach, and I preached on unity. And I told you guys I had a heart for the Gen Z generation. I've just got this burden for those who are 26 years old and younger. And I stated a statistic that was not accurate. I said that 20% of those identify as something other than a man or a woman. That's not accurate. 20% of the adults identify as something other than heterosexual, and 4% identify as something other than a man or a woman or male or female. It's a generation that's really struggling to know who God created them to be. So I'm praying for that generation, and if God stirs your heart and your burden for that generation, I encourage you to be obedient and pray into that as well. Amen. All right, I think he wants to use the church to make a difference for that generation. All right, we finally made it to the sermon. Finally got there. Now we'll pass the offering plates and we'll go. No, not really. No, in regard to the offering, we didn't get that announced this morning, but the boxes are by the doors. If you want to drop your offering in there, you can also give electronically through our app or through the website. How many of you like mysteries? TV mysteries, novels, things that we read. You know, a mystery, there's always something that's introduced that's a mystery, right? That we need to find out what the answer is. You know, Carly and I watch mostly reruns. We like to watch Andy Griffith and Leave It to Beaver. We rotate those, and now we're watching Leave It to Beaver. We're at the end of the series. Beaver's voice gets a little deeper, and it's just not the same. I don't know if you guys understand that, but that's why the series went off the air, because Beaver grew up, right? And so we also like to watch NCIS and Psych and Monk. Any Psych fans in the room? Isn't that the dumbest show on TV? It's so dumb, but we've watched it the whole series 5 or 6 different times. Monk is the same way, and you know, Adrian Monk's this intelligent guy, and there's this mystery at the beginning. Somebody's been murdered or killed, and go through the whole show, and he figures it out, and then what does he say? Here's what happened. And so that mystery is revealed. Now, that's a horrible segue into the scripture, but that's the only one I had. And, you know, there are a lot of mysteries in scripture, things that were introduced in the Old Testament, things that the prophets said, that Moses said, that came out of the book of Psalms. And one of those mysteries was Christ coming back, the Messiah coming back. And so He did in the first century, but as we know, the Jews were looking for a ruler, someone that could sit on a throne, and Jesus will come back someday, and he will rule and reign. Amen?
Amen.
He will come back, and every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess he's Lord. Every tongue, every knee. The sad thing is, if that's the first time someone makes that confession, woe is them. Woe is them. And so they missed Christ. They were looking for a physical ruler. Jesus comes back as a spiritual ruler, set people free from their sins. But that mystery was revealed in Christ. Paul speaks about a mystery in Colossians chapter 1 that I want to look at today. And I want to read 1:25 through 27. I think my version of the NIV is really close to what's on the screen, so the wording may be different. So just follow along best you can. Also, if you want to take notes, there's a sermon note sheet in your bulletin. So Colossians 1. Paul says, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory." So there's this mystery. It's been hidden for generations, hundreds of years it's been hidden. But all of a sudden, in the first century, it's revealed to those, to the Lord's people. And that mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Does Christ live in you? That's a mystery that's been revealed. And that's profound, more profound than we realize, I'm convinced. I mean, I've got this head knowledge. Yeah, Christ, I know you live inside of me. But do I really understand the depth of that? What's going on there in the spiritual realm? Well, I want to address that this morning, and hopefully when I'm through, we'll all be encouraged and we'll all have a deeper appreciation for the reality of Christ living in us. Let's pray. So, Father, as we spend time in your word, it says about itself that it's alive, and I pray it do its work in our hearts this morning. Jesus, you rule and reign. You live inside of us. And I pray that you reveal more of that truth to us this morning, the significance of that, and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Trinity, God's on the throne, right? Jesus is at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. When Jesus went away, he said it's for our benefit that he does that, because if he doesn't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. And so theologically, God's up there. Jesus is making intercession for us. And people tell me a lot, "Hey, I'm praying for you, and I'm grateful for that. Don't stop." But Jesus is also praying for me. And man, I'm really grateful for that. I'll never understand what that's about, totally, fully. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but Paul says that Christ is in us as well. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And so for me, I'm trying to figure out how that works. I guess we've got a piece of him inside of us. I mean, if he didn't live inside of us and he was separated from us, then we might have three gods instead of one God. So they're just intertwined. The Trinity is intertwined, but Christ is in us. And that's good news. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. A prayer of Paul. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And because of that, we identify ourselves as Christians. Now, I want to talk about that word for a minute. In the first century, the believers in Christ were first called Christians in, you remember where? Antioch, okay? That was a city in modern-day southern Turkey. And from what I read, that was more of a derogatory term. It wasn't a term of endearment. all those people, they're just a bunch of weirdos. They're Christians. And it was more of a derogatory term. And they didn't start embracing that term until maybe the second century. I guess in our day, we would see somebody that's, you know, real excited about their faith, real expressive, real joyful. Oh, they're just a bunch of holy rollers. Just a bunch of holy rollers. That's all they are, holy rollers. And you know what? And this is not our church. Because, man, if you want to express yourself in any way in this church as you worship, feel free to do that. There's freedom in this house. Okay? But you know, for I think the body of Christ, we're kind of a little, I don't know, afraid of that or try to distance ourselves from that. But, you know, people that are excited about their faith, it's almost like go find somebody, some other church where people are excited about your faith. And you guys all hang out together and everything will be okay. And people say, well, that's just an emotional experience. They're just being emotional. Well, being grumpy is an emotional experience. Being in a bad mood is an emotional experience, and we allow those people in our doors all the time, right? Hey, are you grumpy? Come on in. If you're joyful, go down the street and worship with somebody else. Man, I need to see people excited about their faith. That helps me. That helps me. I don't know. I chased that rabbit down that trail, and I'm trying to get back on track here, but that term Christian became a badge of honor in the second century. Cody and I have weekly theological discussions, and I enjoy those. Some of them are a little lengthy, but I do enjoy those. And this week we were talking about the sermon title, talking about worship, and he brought up that C.S. Lewis, I guess maybe coined the phrase that Christians are little Christs. Little Christ, believers in Jesus are little Christ, and a term I'd heard several years ago. And if you look at the original Greek, it could mean that. So, as people say, well, I'm a Christian. We're a Christian nation. 60-something% identify as such. I don't know if that same number would identify as a little Christ. Church, we're a chip off the old block, in a sense. We are little Christ. And here's a verse that's really challenged me for a number of years. It's 1 John 2:6. This won't be on the screen. You may want to jot down the reference. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as he walked. If we claim to live in Jesus, we must live as he lived. We must walk as he walked. Challenges me. Little Christs. So there's 3 points this morning. Finally got there. Took a while. So 3 points, because Christ is in us. Point number one is we are his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We are his ambassadors as if God was making his appeal through us. I did a little research on the ambassadors that represent the United States that are in different nations. So it says, I read over their functionality. Let's think in terms of what God may want us to be about in the spiritual realm because we're Christ's ambassadors. There are 168 U.S. ambassadors in other nations. Their mission is to represent the interests and policies of the United States of America. An ambassador is the president's highest-ranking representative to a specific nation or international organization abroad and has been authorized to speak on his behalf. They have a number of functions. They negotiate treaties, maybe. One of those functions being that they look out for the best interest of citizens of their own country. Ambassadors need to be people of integrity, not self-serving, and should be trustworthy. And this is interesting to me as I thought through that. An ambassador is in a foreign land, and that's not his home. Believers in Christ, this is not our home. This is not our home. So we're his ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And Paul speaks about that appeal in 1 Thessalonians 2. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, We speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God who tests our heart. So Paul said he's not doing things from impure motives. He said, on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God because we're entrusted with the gospel. Church, you and I are entrusted with the gospel. God trusts us with that message. He trusts us. He trusts us enough to be Christ's ambassadors. We don't have to fill out an application for approval. We don't have to be the top candidate for that position. And there are not a limited number of spots available. He trusts us as a church to represent Christ, to speak on his behalf, to communicate the deep truths of Scripture. And if we mess up, guess what? We're not going to be replaced or demoted. Grateful for his grace. So up to this point, whatever our role as an ambassador looks like, you know, we may have represented him well, or we may have not represented him well. I've got good news that today is a new day. Today is a brand new day. His mercies renew this morning. So let's commit and strive from this point forward to express the desires of Christ to a hurting and broken world. We have the privilege to be his ambassadors. Amen? All right, second point. Because Christ is in us, we are his aroma. Aroma. We are his fragrance. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of God everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who in the world is equal to such a task without the Holy Spirit helping us? So I was kind of captured by Paul using this example that we're being led by Christ, a triumphal procession. And as we do that, we spread this aroma around, the aroma of life or the aroma of death. And I think maybe Paul is using maybe a metaphor here to communicate a spiritual a spiritual concept. In that day, an army would go out and they would be victorious. And so when they would come back to the capital city, there would be a parade. And the soldiers would march in this parade. They would also bring back with them captives from the enemy land, and they would be basically headed to death. They would bring them back, and then more times than not, they would sadly put them to death. And so as they did that, the people of that community, they would offer up burnt offerings and incense offerings to either the soldiers, to the army, or to their gods. It was a pagan experience. And so as the soldiers walked through that aroma, for them it smelled like victory. As they walked through. As the prisoners walked through that aroma, it smelt like death to them because they knew they were headed. Let me try to maybe do a little more personal application. So as we go out throughout our day, we should be the smell of life, the aroma of life, the fragrance of life to believers and those who are non-believers. They should witness our life, and we should be the aroma that might cause them to question their life. What's this person have that I don't have? Gosh, I'd love to have some of that. That makes sense? We're not pronouncing a death sentence on people as the aroma of Christ. We're encouraging them maybe to perhaps embrace the Lord. A couple of examples. we shop at HEB pretty often. And 3 or 4 years ago, I was in there, and I got in line to check out. And I have this gift. You may have it. You may not have it. I have this gift of getting in the slowest line at the checkout. I just do. There may be two people in this line. I'm the third. This one over here has eight, the one I passed on. And I'll watch them as they move. And that eighth person walks out the door, and I'm still in line. But I was in line, and there was this young 20-something young 20-something young lady, and I was watching her as she interacted with the people at the register, And I'm thinking, she's a believer in Christ. I can just see it on her. I can see the way she just radiates. And so I get up there, and she's checking me out. And I said, young lady, you have Jesus all over you. And she says, I love him so. And I said, I know you do. I can see that. And so there's this connection, this aroma that I just kind of walked in that space, and we connected on a spiritual level. A couple of years ago, when the pandemic struck, I was at HEB again, my first trip to the grocery store after the pandemic started. And it was so weird. I mean, it didn't open till 8 o'clock. The hours were reduced, and we had to line up out the door, and we were 6 foot apart, and I was way back in the line. It was just so eerie. And I remember nobody was talking. Nobody was saying a word. Just fear and uncertainty. And so I finally get inside, and I'm pushing my grocery cart around, trying to find some items that we normally buy. And it was just dead quiet, with the exception of these grocery carts just, you know, bouncing on the cement. And so I remember going down the toilet paper aisle. Of course, I was out of luck there. But so were the other 50 or so people who were trying going down that aisle. It was just like, man, people are going this way and that way. It was crazy. And so I remember I encountered this younger black man, and I looked at him, and he was smiling. He was telling people to have a great day. And I encountered him. I said, hey, how's it going? Oh, brother, it's great. How are you doing? And I said, well, actually, I'm doing okay. And he said, well, God bless you. And he keeps going. And as he's walking off, I can hear him just blessing people as he went through that store. And you know, most of those people, I guess there was a lot of uncertainty. They didn't know if they'd be alive in a couple months, you know. But as I think about him being the aroma of Christ, as he walked through there blessing people, I can't help but to imagine that some people were attracted to that. What does this man, why does this man have so much peace? And I don't. And so we are that aroma. We should encourage people that don't know the Lord and people that do know the Lord. So as we move throughout our day, let's strive to be cognizant of this aroma that we spread around. And to be honest, sometimes, man, I stink things up. I really do. But let's strive to be the aroma of Christ. Third point. Because Christ is in us, we should be in awe of him. We should be in awe of him. And there's so many benefits in Scripture that should cause us to consider the depth of him being inside of us. Now, I'm gonna read these way too fast. It'd be hard to take notes. But here's just a few I jotted down. We are seated with him in the heavenlies, Ephesians 2:6. All the riches of the Father are available to us, Philippians 4:19. All spiritual blessings are ours in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. We are free from sin, Romans 6:18. We have peace, Romans 5:1. And his grace has been poured out, lavished on us in Ephesians 1:7. And I could go on and on and on for another 10 or 15 minutes about the benefits of Christ being in us. But I want to do something that might, something visual. Sometimes I do visual things and it helps me. Something visual that might help us have a deeper appreciation for Christ being in us. Now, I've recruited two volunteers, reluctant volunteers, by the way. And one of those is Jamie Adams. Jamie, you mind standing up? Let's give Jamie a hand for being a volunteer. Reluctant volunteer. Jamie's on staff. She's our Mother's Day out director. Does an awesome job, by the way. Thanks for saying yes. Thank you. And we talked about what I'm going to do. Okay, so let's just pretend. I was going to find somebody with child, but I didn't want to embarrass anybody. So we're going to pretend that we are pretending, right, Jamie? Okay. Ty, are we pretending?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to make sure. So let's pretend that this is Mary, and she's carrying the Christ child, Jesus in her. How would we respond to that? You know, if you think about the first century, not very many people knew that child was of the Holy Spirit. We know because we have it recorded. We've been able to read it. But just Joseph and Mary, her aunt and uncle, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and then Simeon was in the temple, and I believe Anna was in the temple as well. They knew that. But most everybody else did not. but we know it. I mean, not to deify her, but how would we respond to that? Would we be in awe of that? Carrying the cross, tell my goodness. Can I get you a drink of water? Or please come sit down. I mean, we would just be so in awe of that, right? Second volunteer is Steve McCorn. Steve, you mind standing up? Let's give Steve a hand. Steve's a good brother in the Lord. So, Christ in her, Christ in him. Should we not have that same awe that we have for this? That we have for this? The hope of glory. In Steve. In me. In you. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. You know, why does that not astound us, church? And I have to ask myself, why am I not on my face at least one day a year thanking the Lord for what he's done for me? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Church, it's a big deal. It's been my prayer this morning that we will capture some of that. Or recapture some of that. And I believe if we really could get a grasp on this, it would be easier to be his ambassadors. It would be so much easier to spread this fragrance around everywhere we go. We'd be more cognizant of the needs in our culture. Now church, gosh, you're such a good church. We've said that a number of times. But I believe maybe Jesus is calling us to go deeper. And there's nothing wrong with that. Praise team, go ahead and come up, please. You know, as I mentioned, Christ being in us, there may be some here this morning that you might could say, well, I don't know if Christ lives in me or not. And if you're uncertain about that, I would love to visit with you about that. Our pastor will be back in the office the following week. He would love to visit with you about that. I encourage you to pursue the Lord and try to make that a reality. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your glory and your mercy and your grace. Oh, Jesus, you're so patient and kind with us. Called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Your Spirit's inside of us. Jesus, you rest there in our hearts. I can't comprehend that. And you've done it for our benefit. It benefits us greatly, but you've done that so others will be maybe even greater beneficiaries of that reality. So I pray this day that you move our hearts closer to where they need to be in regard to knowing Jesus at a deeper level. And we'll give you the praise for it. Father, use this church for your glory. Whatever that might look like, God, we want to submit to your desires for Wiley Methodist Church. Lord, if you're taking us deeper as a congregation, you're taking us deeper as individuals, God, give us the courage to go there. Help us to know you more. And we love you for who you are. And we praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as we close with this song.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest pain, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that? Him alone. Him alone. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I want to challenge you and encourage you to chew on that this week. And I'll do the same. If you are our visitor this morning, if you want to meet with me, I'll be out by the main entrance. I'd love to do that. Also, if you need prayer for anything this morning, we'll have a couple of people up front to pray for you. Please don't leave this place without doing business with the Lord if He's calling you to. Church, have a tremendous day. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.